We are live. Thank you so much for joining us in this event hosted by Within People. Within People is a growth and culture consultancy that helps leaders around the world strategize and implement human-centered cultures. And we are very much interested in how we work with leaders who are progressive thinkers around how do you actually build intentional cultures that help you have the impact that you want to have in a way that really celebrates and surfaces the talents and energy of your incredible people in your employee base. And today we are going to be talking about a topic that is very near and dear to Within People's hearts. We care a lot about the values that companies have and the behaviors and actions that are attached to those values that lead to the impact that organization can have, which aligns with their purpose and their mission and their reason for existing in the world. We think this is a really important conversation to have specifically now in this moment of time that we find ourselves. We think that by and large, most leaders acknowledge that values are important, but oftentimes it's really hard to put those values into practice and to use those values as guardrails that can steer us into the behaviors that we want to have. Why values are important? They serve a number of different functions for us. They are that compass for us. They guide us. They are that common language that we have when we don't know the answer to something or when we have to make a decision, right? They create belonging amongst people in teams, especially across hybrid and global teams, where maybe you don't have that in-person moment to ground those norms and rituals that are part of who you are as a culture. And we also like to think that values help us attract and keep incredible talent, right? People come to work for us because they see themselves echoed in their own values. They know they are arriving in a space where a company has thought about their values and are using them to guide the business through innovation, product development, and how they support their customers. And most importantly, how they look after their people. We believe that values are a critical part of culture, and they are definitely worth talking about, and not only talking about, but putting into practice. So I'm Bev Atfield. I'm a partner at Within People, and I have the privilege of working with very progressive, warm, human-centered leaders like the two folks we have with us here today, who are going to have a conversation with me about the importance of values, how to put them into practice, and what sometimes gets in the way of us really making them actionable behaviors and not just words on a wall or in a slide deck. So I'd love to introduce Madeline Drake, Director of People and Culture at Stoke, and Sabrina Banadega, VP of Marketing at Shift. Both of these leaders are clients of Within People. I've had the opportunity to work with them developing their sets of values over the past year. And we've had quite a lot of fun doing it, and I've arrived at what I hope, and you're going to hear more from both of them, they can speak to it, but a set of values for each of them that's really reflective of who their business is, what they care about, and how they would love to see their folks show up in service of those values. Madeline, I'm going to come to you first. I'd love to hear you just share a little bit about yourself. What does Stoke do, and why do you personally care about values?
Thank you, Bev. I'm very excited to be here. The values project for Stoke in 2024 and 2025 was probably one of my favorite things to work on. So a little bit about myself. My name is Madeline Drake, and I'm the Director of People and Culture here at Stoke. I like to also believe that we bring our whole self to work, and I like to share the other facets of who I am. So I'm a mother, I'm a snowboarder, a poet, and a lifelong learner. Stoke leads organizations to decarbonize now. We integrate expertise in ESG, in sustainability consulting, in carbon engineering and project delivery to support owners and clients from the enterprise to the asset level to provide them with the strategy and the management and technical support to translate their bold commitments into action. And we're also a B Corp certified company. So for me, because we've got these big, bold clients taking these big, bold actions, we really need values to support us in that work. And that's why I believe that it's important to talk about these values, how they translate into action.
Brilliant. Thanks, Madeline. I can attest firsthand to, you know, how you have beautifully been able to bring your humanity and your humility as well to the process of finding and crafting values, right? And infusing that with this really authentic sort of feeling around what it means to be at Stoke. That's a true extension of the things we care about and the impact that we want to have at Stoke. Sabrina, I'm going to come to you. Same question. Can you share a bit about yourself? What does Shift do and why do you personally care about values?
Yes, thank you, Bev. It's amazing to be here. My name is Sabrina, VP Marketing at Shift. My career is centered around storytelling, and I'm passionate about connecting users or customers with the solutions to their pain points. That's what I get up to do every day. At Shift, I get the privilege of blending creativity and strategy and building a brand that really does reflect both innovation and integrity. And one of the things that I've been observing in the last couple of years is without integrity, it's difficult to have innovation in a meaningful way. I will talk more about values in this call, but I found the process of creating values within people was really, it brought meaning in ways that I've never quite experienced before with the creation of values. Shift is a browser that simplifies people's way of managing their digital lives, their digital workflows. It unifies apps. It's the world's most customizable browser. It brings all accounts, apps, extensions into one place and helps individuals and teams cut through that digital clutter, having more focus, getting more meaningful work done. Ultimately, at Shift, we don't believe that productivity is about getting more done. It's about doing what matters. And at Shift, we absolutely work hard and we also work smarter through the product. It unlocks the ability to do that. Values matter. They've always mattered to me. I've done lots of different leadership courses in values-based leadership. And I care deeply about values and how they show up every day for our teams and customers in the fast-moving tech environment, which is what we're in at Shift. Values have helped us anchor, keeping us aligned and authentic and human. The values at Shift don't just guide how we work, but how we live and show up. One of the things I've been reflecting on too is that success really isn't measured by results, how we actually achieve them, and then the impact that success metric leaves behind. We are a carbon neutral browser, and that impact and what we're leaving behind or not leaving behind as a result of our product is very much anchored in our values.
Thanks, Sabrina. What I'm hearing from both of you is the meaning behind what we do, right? I think that you are both in very human-centric businesses, but you are impact and purpose-led. You care about the way that you are going about doing your business and building the product, servicing your clients, and having the outcomes feel like a meaningful experience for the world and the people that are in it as you go about that. I think that's ultimately what values help us do. They help us articulate and express. Different companies obviously have different values. Some have the same, but the meaning is different to each company. But they're ultimately those guideposts for us to understand whether or not we're on track with how we're showing up together, right? And without them, it becomes a bit chaotic, right? And it becomes a little bit harder to keep everyone aligned on where we want to be pointing with our North Star, right? So thank you both. You said it best. I had thought, should I introduce each of you? And then I thought, you know what? I really want to hear in your own words what these topics mean to you and hear from you about what your businesses are achieving in the world. But speaking of the world, we're going to start at a very high context level here. I'd like to play a little bit around understanding why values are key to building workplace culture today more than ever. I think we all appreciate the feeling of the business landscape today, whether it's due to economic shifts, disruption thanks to AI. Hybrid work continues to be a gnarly problem that we have not yet solved as a fallout from the pandemic. And just generally, the philosophical shifts happening around the world, driven by politics and socio-political topics, are really putting strains on business and are starting to put some pressure on, standing up for building people-centered, kind, caring workplaces where we really are looking after people. That's why I think that talking about values today is really critical to making sure we are holding firm on the things that we really believe in. And just recently, I saw a news article shared by one of our partners around one of the founders of Ben & Jerry's ice cream, who stepped away and has not wanted to continue in with that business, which is owned by Unilever, I believe, because he believes that he cannot see Ben & Jerry's original set of values continue to be lived in that context. So we're seeing that, and that's just one example, where either people are standing up and saying, we can't back down from what we believe is true, to the other end of the spectrum, where people are capitulating and saying they will align with whatever the current way of thinking is about the world and not what they believe is right for their business according to their values. I think we're in quite a prickly time right now. I'm not going to be facilitating a political conversation here, but I think we need to acknowledge that we're living through some interesting and challenging times. The first question I have for Madeline and Sabrina is, and maybe Madeline, I'll come to you first. Why did you prioritize articulating values for Stoke when we did? Why this time? Why now?
Yeah. So Stoke has had a set of values used for several years, and Stoke acquired a Canadian-based sustainability consulting firm last year. We believed it was the right time for a refresh, a unifying, catalyzing moment to set us forward in the next several years. Stoke is here to boldly catalyze an environmentally restorative and socially equitable world. That's a really bold, ambitious, daunting, inspiring, exciting purpose. And in order to retain, engage, motivate, inspire the team members that we have, we need a set of guiding principles, a North Star, to get us to where we need to go. The power of these words, I believe, will support us in energizing and getting us to that purpose we're boldly trying to achieve.
Yeah, that's a really important point, Madeline, that values don't just exist for the sake of values. They are part of a cultural framework that needs to have a guiding light that gives us the reason why we would have those values, right? Thanks, Madeline. Sabrina, how about you? There was also an interesting context for how we arrived at the need to have a set of values for your business. So tell us more.
There were two companies that merged together and they each had their own set of values. The values weren't in conflict. We needed a shared foundation. We're building something very disruptive in a crowded space, two cultures coming together. So our values exercise, we knew we just didn't want to do this exercise to have slogans to put on a wall, but actionable behaviors that hold us accountable. They connect us to each other and to our customers, and we needed that. We have a remote team, and to have something to anchor was really important to us. Articulating the values was a fascinating thing when we went through this exercise, is that it meant codifying the culture that we already felt in practice. So that as we scale, and we have exponentially scaled over the last couple of years, we just never lose the heartbeat of who we actually are.
I love that idea of bottling up what it means to be here and be us, right? That's one way we can describe what values are. It's a way to codify what it means to be here. And that's really important, particularly in times of uncertainty or rapid change. We need it for business as usual moments. But I'm curious about, in your both of your experience, how have the values that you have as you've come through this evolution for both of you, interestingly that you both arrived at a set of values through some sort of evolutionary process, how do values help you stay grounded in your businesses with your people in times of uncertainty or rapid change or some moment of triage for the business? Sabrina, maybe I'll come to you first.
Yeah, well, being in tech, there's rapid change.
You're always in triage.
Yes, always. And while it's exciting, I love it. I wouldn't be here if I didn't. At the same time, markets are shifting constantly. Priorities, we're pivoting constantly to keep up, to get ahead. And we have to be agile. Values have really anchored us. One of our values, for example, is connect with heart. It reminds us to lead with empathy, even when things are really hard. And even another value, for example, is go together. And this is something that has ensured that no one feels isolated when things get hard, that no one's left behind. We are in this together. We want to see each other succeed. And I've never been in a culture that embodies that to the degree that Shift does. And it's, like I mentioned before, it's not just because we went through a values exercise. We just needed to articulate it. They definitely give us confidence when context changes. The way we show up for each other and our customers really remains steady in tumultuous times.
I love that. Thank you also for sharing some examples of your values that really give some detail and color here to, you know, something you said around the confidence when the context changes, when you all know that you can hold on to something that is constant, even though things are changing, is a really powerful part of what I'm hearing about your experience, Sabrina. Madeline, how about for you? What are you seeing in terms of how you're using values to help ground you and guide you?
Yeah. So our values keep us focused. I mean, the world is noisy and messy and difficult, and they keep us tethered to where we are aimed to go. They allow us to keep centered, accountable, and in our lane. One of the things they have helped us do is develop processes and tools internally to put action towards our commitments. For example, we created what we call an issue tree. This is what we refer to when events happen outside of Stoke that impact Stokers. And we need to decide how, as leaders, we're going to respond to those events. And sometimes those events are directly tied to our purpose or impact a multitude or a majority of our Stokers, in which case we have different actions that we take accordingly. The issue tree is like a decision tree. It's a decision-making tool steeped in our values, and it gives us a map to respond in alignment with our values to events impacting us directly or indirectly. This has been a really helpful way for us to guide decision-making, especially on zesty, hairy topics. Just this last weekend, there was an executive order published in the U.S. and related to immigration. We have Stokers that have immigration statuses that were going to be affected. This decision tree embedded in our values helped leadership come to a decision around how to care deeply, which is one of our values, and own our responsibility and our accountability to communication with leaders, with the people directly affected, with the company. And so this is one example of how Stoke is living our values in this tumultuous time.
What I'm hearing in that too, Madeline, is it's not just whether or not you respond, right? But it's the how of the response that's really important, and where the values reveal themselves as useful and critical to the experience of the moment. Without those values, you don't have that calibration point of like, what should this feel for us when we respond to these moments, like the example you mentioned with the immigration issue. I'm appreciating the examples you're both sharing, and I hope our audience will, you know, really take away like the intention that you're both bringing as well to where the values start to arrive for us, right? And that leads us into our next topic set, which is around what transformative values look and feel like. I think in both of the examples that you both shared, you know, you could have had values that just were statements, right? But that didn't actually give you the guidance to, well, how should we use this value, and what are the things that are important to us as a business for behaviors that align and support that value? In my experience, all values aren't created equal. Many times, probably more often than not, values are written without clear supporting behaviors that lead to action and impact. You know, after all, values aren't really about the words, even though the words are incredibly powerful and important. Transformative values are the ones that intentionally help us shape and build our culture, because they are designed to have clear actions and behaviors set out so that there's no doubt what it means for us to show up for each of those values, right? Sabrina, I'm going to come to you for this one. In your experience, you've gotten your hands dirty building the values that we built together over the past year, and you've had other experiences with building values as well. But what is the difference between a value that's simply good, the words sound great, but they don't really take action, versus a value that actually transforms how people show up.
Yeah. It's words like honesty or trust. How do you not agree with that? A transformative value is behavioral. It's unique to the culture. That was the cool experience about coming up with our values. We did it as an entire company. It wasn't just the leadership team in a boardroom. One of our values, do hard things, asks us to try new ways, to seek feedback, to turning failure into learning opportunity. So that an example of a value, it really challenges us to show up differently and not just nod along. We've had many different experiences pre-product launch in July, post-product launch, that I often indexed to every day. Like, we do hard things. This is hard. It's part of who we are. We just do it and we get through it. I think that's the transformation that I've seen, especially in comparison to other workplaces, other cultures where we didn't have that. We didn't have anything to anchor us into transformation.
Yeah, and I think that there's another dimension to the value set as well, Sabrina, when you talked about your value of do hard things and that you really do embody that value. But what you've got and why this is also transformative is in your set of values, you've got a bit of a counterbalance with connect with heart, which is one of your other values. So it's not just falling into the shadow side of doing hard things all the time, but you've got to counter that with how are you connecting with heart when you're showing up to that set of values? So maybe speak a little bit about where else does that show up and why is that important that we have those counterbalances in the values?
That's such a great question. It's coming off the heels of a couple conversations that happened yesterday. There was the hard thing that we needed to do. And I'm a bit of a grinder. I want to get it done. I want to go fast and we need to make quick decisions. Let's test it, see if it's working, and then iterate on it. And in that drive, there can also be a bit of friction. And that's natural. That is part of what's hard. But without pulling myself out of just get it done and into I need to have a heart-to-heart with this person about this hard thing, it wouldn't have felt as good at the end of the day. It would have felt more like a grind rather than like a meaningful progression forward.
Interesting. Yeah, so I mean, values are transformative in that they compel us to focus on the experience that we're having with other humans that are in this with us. And I think that's really where we start to see transformative values shine, is where we can really start to use them in the day-to-day as well, like you're doing with the rest of your team at Shift. Madeline, any thoughts from you? I'm going to come to you with another question in a moment, but any about the difference between a good value and a transformative value from your perspective?
I wanted to add that I think one of the things Sabrina said that really stood out to me is the uniqueness of values. They are unique because we are unique. And that's perhaps how you can tell that the values are solid, because they are us. They are true to our essence. They feel like they are a reflection of who we are and who we want to continue to be. Sometimes it's hard to bring 100% of our best selves every day. On days where we feel like we're only bringing 30% of our best self, the values remind us who we are on our best days and who we want to continue to be going forward. And that's important because the world is tough. They help us and provide structure as a support system to move us forward.
Yeah, that's such a critical aspect of transformation in my mind around like values aren't just who we are today. Like they're not just a, you know, expression of who we are and what we know to be true about ourselves, but they've got to have an edgy aspiration to them that can pull us forward into the future, right? And that's why when we go through these journeys with us, sometimes we arrive with a challenge around where's the edge in the value that you're offering? How do you make it a productive, energetic set of words that can propel you forward? It isn't just, oh, well, this is who we are today. I love that you revealed that thinking around values, Madeline. Thank you. Okay. Sabrina and Madeline, we've been through values journeys together. We've done some incredible work together, and I've really enjoyed the journey. I think you both have too. But the juicy question that I'm holding, and I've been ruminating about for a while, is can AI write transformative values? So we've just talked about what transformative values look like. Do you think AI can write values like that?
No. It's a simple hell no. No, it cannot.
Okay, say more.
AI is an excellent tool to stress test the values. It provides another perspective. It allows you to, it's a great critiquing tool. So you can ask it multiple questions, looking for bias, trying to challenge what you are crafting. That's helpful and has certainly been part of our process as we've created our values at Stoke. However, it's artificial intelligence. It's not real, relational, true, steeped in experience intelligence. And that is critical, foundational to creating transformative values. In order for the values to be unique, like we were just talking about, in order for the values to reflect us and who we want to continue to be going forward, they need to come from us. They must be of us and come from a place of truth and lived experience. There's no way that AI can possibly know what it's like to feel like a Stoker. AI is not a Stoker. And so it doesn't know what truly moves us to action or inspires us. So while it's a good tool, it cannot be the designer.
Agreed. I completely agree. I think there's a yet that we have to put in there, though, because I think once we reach artificial general intelligence, we're going to be quite astounded at how experiential and relational the robots can be, right? And we most certainly will be finding ourselves having this conversation in different ways over time. But yes, ultimately, cannot really do the function that is at its core a very human experience. Right? And I love what you mentioned about using AI for aspects of building values. It's incredible how powerful that aspect of AI is to help us test our own thinking and make sure we're not slipping into stereotypes and biases, which is a really important part of that tool. But yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens over time. Madeline, I want to ask you a follow-up question, and it's something that we spoke about in our prep for this call, where you were talking about another definition of AI, which is artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I wonder, like, I was super curious about what that was. And I know that Brené Brown and Esther Perel have been talking about that extensively, but can you give the listeners just a little bit of a snapshot of why did you bring that up and why is that important definition for us to be paying attention to?
I think as we embed AI in the ways that we work, we must also at the same time be thinking about how we are making sure that we are not creating cultures of artificial intimacy. Let's look at how we can take advantage of AI to support our work and grow our impact. Yet we must also have one eye on, you know, what I just said, but then also have the other eye on our people and ensuring that we aren't creating spaces that feel artificial. We must continue to nurture and care for our people. That combination of utilizing the tool to grow our impact and our technical abilities is fantastic. And if you can combine that with growing the relational intelligence of an organization, that combination, I think, is what catapults us into the leading edge of our markets and industries.
Yeah, I think there's some guidance being offered as I've been reading more broadly around AI and how it's going to impact workplaces and the shift to society at large. How do we start to determine what are the human-led functions and what are the AI-led functions? I think maybe looking through the lens of artificial intimacy might give us some clues around what are the things we must protect as humans. What are those special things that we as humans do that we shouldn't be looking to replace with the technology that might be offered to us? Sabrina, any quick thoughts from you on AI's ability to write transformative values? And would you have used a bot instead of people to build your values?
Absolutely not. I love AI, but it generates copy. I don't feel like it can differentiate between something like toxic positivity or genuine empathy. The human nuance, which you guys have both been saying, is what makes values transformative.
Yeah, 100% agree. Speaking of the humans making values transformative, I want to wrap up with our third topic, getting practical about how do we take those values off the wall or slide deck and actually into practice. And for us at Within People, like, we have a way of architecting values that have behaviors hardwired into the value itself. We also have all of our values start with a verb, so that you are immediately expressing that there is an action involved with that value. It isn't just trust or honesty as one word values, right? There's actually an expression with a verb. But all that being said, that's fair and well. We can wire the actions into the phrasing of the value. But how do we actually live those values, right? And so the questions that I'd love for you to both lead us into here, Sabrina, I'll come to you first on this one, is what are you doing at Shift to actually move beyond the words with your values and the sentiment of your values and the feeling that those values create into action and impact, and really the ways that you work together is what it comes down to, right? So what are you doing? Can you give us some examples?
Yeah. At Shift, we bake our values into rituals and systems. One very fun thing we did this year, we've had a year runway to have some fun and bake these values in. In our company offsite in July, we had started with an annual award ceremony, one of the evenings that we called the Shifty. We called on our Shifties to nominate their colleagues for awards tied to our four values and our purpose statement. There were five winners. We offered them a financial gift, a additional day off to take in the year. And then we made custom bobbleheads of them instead of trophies. Some of them are in their office. Some of them ended up on family mantles in the living room next to the graduation picture from college. That landed so well with the team. We had a ton of fun and everybody laughed and cried and hugged. In our hiring process, we use values to inform stages of recruitment. So we really want to ensure that our new teammates kind of really embody the culture from day one. We weave them into one-on-ones, into our Slack channels. Every company offsite, we do live Giphy filming on a green screen. We've created custom Giphys for each value that we'll share around Slack and call out people for acknowledging that they're embodying these values. And so I think it's almost like, what doesn't it touch? Because we do weave it in to a lot of different aspects of what we do on a daily basis.
I like that sentiment of what doesn't it touch, because if there's a Shifty involved, the value should be evident, right? You've taken such an expansive approach to thinking about every dimension of your business and the functions in your business, are using it for, you know, things like product conversations and decision making, and your strategic roadmap is even informed by your purpose and values. You've done a brilliant job of thinking about the practical living of the values, the measuring of them and the celebration of them, which is such an important aspect of creating the norm for people to lean into those values and embody them.
We're baked into the process right now of our 2026 trail map. And at the top of our trail map for 2025 was our purpose and values. The pillars of what we were working were underneath that. So we knew, like, everything we were doing, does it ladder up to what we said we were going to do? That also helped us with strategic planning, as you were just mentioning.
Yeah, and there's some real clarity that comes from that. It takes away some of the questions that have to be asked, and it helps everybody align around their day-to-day, right? Because after all, we all come to our workplaces and we are a collection of effort, all people that are there, right? And if people are, by and large, leaning into and using the values in their day-to-day, you must eventually start to feel like there's a palpable way of being in that culture. Yes, people are going to have different interpretations of words and are going to show up differently because of being unique individuals. But I love what you're talking about there, Sabrina, around finding those ways where, like, where doesn't it show up? And the question is, well, it shows up everywhere, right? So awesome. Madeline, anything to add to that before we go to the next question?
I think Sabrina captured it well. Yeah, I think that's good.
All right, question for you, Madeline. As you've been on this journey to create and involve the values at Stoke, and I know that you've had other experiences before developing and implementing values, but help our listeners understand, like, what are some of the lessons you've learned along the way, right, around how do we create this really important set of codified words that express who we are as a culture?
The thing that comes up for me is that it's a creative process. And I think about the process of creating art. You don't just end up with an awesome painting done right away. It takes time to sculpt or to paint or to write a novel, right? Similarly, it takes a lot of time to do well. And part of that time commitment is consulting with the right stakeholders, with the right groups of people that reflect or are going to reflect and provide the stress and challenge needed and the rigor needed to ensure that those unique values are a reflection of who we are and who we say we want to continue to be. The time commitment and the commitment to doing it well. And I think what surprised me was how joyful of a process it was. I said right at the very beginning when I was introducing myself, this was one of my favorite projects of the year because of its creative nature, because it's got this messy kind of element of like you're in the moment trying to come up with better and more aligned words to who you are as an organization. It was really fun for me. And so that caught me by surprise how actually joyful that was.
And what do you think made it joyful? So that folks who are listening to this and, you know, they might need to be pitching a values project or knowing that they need to transform their values to maybe the C-suite and they're not sure how to talk about a journey or pitch a journey that could be joyful, because often these, it just feels like it's a waste of time. It's going to take a lot of effort. Why do we need to include other voices? Can we not just, as the execs, sit in a room? Like Sabrina, you were saying, that's not what you did. That can feel heavy for people to try and get approval for new journey. So what made it fun and joyful for you?
Well, aside from working with Within, who are fabulous partners to Stoke, who I said it in the word partnership, it feels so wonderful to be working with Within. Aside from that joyful experience, I mean, really, you have to ask yourself, are you a people-first organization? Are you truly committed to creating a culture where you want people to show up in their values, in your values? And if the answer is yes, then you have to do the hard thing, like Sabrina was just mentioning, and take that commitment and take it true to heart. What makes it joyful is the experience of being with your people while you're crafting it. And so if you are truly a people and culture first organization, then you understand the importance and the time that is required to put into the relationship with your people, to get to know your people, to make sure that the values you create truly reflect the collective. And that's a joyful experience for me.
Yeah, it's probably one of the most important things that a business can do is define and articulate what they stand for, right? And taking the time and making the investment in it is well worth it, because it gives you the ability to bring everybody along in so many different ways that really help your bottom line at the end of the day. Every person's experience is different. Sabrina, I'm sure, and please feel free to build on what Madeline was talking about. But if you can find a way to frame this as something that is incredibly enjoyable and co-creative, it can take you that much further, I believe. So Sabrina, anything to add from your side of things around lessons learned along the way?
I think I'm going to answer that, but I wanted to also add something that I said in a presentation at our company offsite, was that our purpose and our values power the people, and that the people power the performance, and that the performance powers the possibilities. And so that is something that we've seen at Shift in terms of starting with, like, why are we doing this? It does have a bottom line. It's can be sometimes hard to articulate that, but I would say some of the lessons that I have learned in this process and have seen in my own personal life is that values really only matter if the leaders embody it and if they model them visibly. If we say we go together as our value, but we operate in silos, then the value collapses. And it creates the opposite of engagement. Consistency matters. And if not lived from the top, they can't thrive elsewhere. It's not easy to show up every day to our values and our purpose. We're human beings in a human body in this wild world. And it can be very challenging. Some values may be easier to show up to than others, but through that experience, we can support each other. Maybe I'm a bit more of an independent contributor acting like that right now. I need to rally and work more cross-departmentally rather than just within marketing on this exercise, because it needs to impact product. We need to talk to customer service. So there's lots of layers of that.
Yeah, thanks, Sabrina. And that's actually a good segue into our closing question as we wrap up here. I wanted to ask for both of you to offer a few words of advice for others who have great values, but they don't know how to activate them. And Sabrina, you already gave a big clue there around it's got to start with leaders, right? What other couple of words of advice might you both have to offer about where people start to activate their values?
I have a bit of a motto for myself this year that I've been trying to implement at work. And it's this, it's actually an acronym, and it's KISS. And we actually say, keep it simple, Stoker. And it's this concept that, like, oftentimes the solution is so much simpler than you think it needs to be. Rather than thinking of complex ways to embed or launch or, you know, insert action verb, the values, like, actually, what's the simplest thing that you can do? Like, how can you reach people in a really simple manner? That's been really helpful for us this last year. And yeah, connecting with people and getting to know really what it is for them that makes them tick, and trying to weave the values simply into that connection. And Sabrina?
Yeah, I love that. I think starting small and just making it a behavior, I think sometimes it can feel like this big thing to take on, but similar to keeping it simple, it's starting small. And we often say, like, what would it look like in our next meeting, project, initiative, or quarter, if we just chose a value and said, what would it look like if I embodied this? Really kind of building rituals around those actions until they become second nature and actually sacred. It doesn't, you know, transformation isn't just going to happen in a single webinar or in a single event. It's an accumulation of those lived behaviors over time.
Yeah, that's a great point to end on, around this being a journey. There might be a destination, but it really is about the journey. And sometimes that journey takes longer than you might expect. It is the accumulation of many simple actions that add up to the feeling we create when we are living our values. Well, thank you both. This has been a really lovely conversation. I'm going to put you both on the spot very quickly and ask you to end up by sharing, if values had to be a song or a book for you, what would it be? If you had to pick something that would be your anthem or your go-to book of values, what would it be?
I don't even know that I know this song that well, but when you asked that question, Eye of the Tiger came up for me.
Rocky?
There's something joyful. One of our values is stoke joy. It just felt playful and action oriented and strong. I'm going to go with
that, right?
I'm going to go with Eye of the Tiger, even though I can barely sing it.
Love it. Sabrina, how about you?
I can't remember the exact name of the book. It has something to do with zig when others are zagging. It's a brand book, and I'm a brand geek. So this book really codifies what we've been doing at Shift. Like, are we going to do it because everybody else is doing it? Or are we going to not do it because everybody else is doing it and we're going to go over here and do this thing?
Brilliant. I love having that as sort of the guiding, like, just be a bit weird and different, right? Don't follow the herd. And that absolutely is expressed in your value. Thank you both so much. I'm so grateful that I have had the opportunity to work with both of you and continue to work with both of you in other ways. You know, just really appreciate that we are having this conversation, and I hope that it will continue, because as we know, business and culture and people continue to evolve. But the one constant that can guide us is if we have a really incredible set of transformative values that help us navigate through whatever we're facing with our folks in our day-to-day. So thank you so much for being here. This has been really wonderful, and we'll catch you at the next one. Take care.
Thank you.
Great to be here. Bye-bye.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in today. Really hope you found this time together valuable. And if you are a leader who is wanting to be more curious, hope that you feel more resourced coming out of this today. Thank you so much to Emily, our producer, who always brings us together and helps us to create these brilliant episodes, which we really hope will move the needle on the experience that people have at work. So please do tune in to our podcast every month for more episodes on what's happening in the culture and leadership space, what's on the minds of leaders committed to change in our community, and other future of work content you crave. Reimagining Work from Within is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. That's a wrap for today. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time.